This is a production of Cornell University.
University Assembly Meeting, September 2nd, 2009.
I'd like to welcome everybody. Everybody signed in? Because we know we have a quorum now, so this is good. Any late additions you want to add to the agenda? Okay, seeing none. To the new members, welcome. We hope this will be a very productive year. There's a few things that we didn't quite get through last year that we may want to attempt or be successful in completing this year. And I know one of those items is the charter revision. And I'm sure there will be some other things coming up that will be newsworthy on sustainability. So let us proceed. Because of our last meeting, we weren't sure of what everything, there wasn't a lot of attendance to our final meeting in the spring. We need to elect the chair of the assembly and the co-chair. We also have to confirm our executive committee members. So we can either elect the chair first, elect the chair and co-chair first, or we can do the executive committee and then elect the chair and co-chair, whichever way anyone would like to go.
The chair and co-chair have to be part of the executive committee, right?
Correct.
So take care of that first. So we don't presuppose the second?
Yeah, that's what the method they called last year was constituent
first, and then the chair and the co-chair.
It was, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a quorum of the faculty members? Three of us here. Is that there's seven opinion or six?
There are six.
Okay, so six seated. Six is 50%. Is that enough for us to decide? Charlie, you want to be chair of the faculty delegation and executive committee?
I'd be happy to if you'd like me to.
That involves going to all the agenda setting meetings.
Yes.
And involves what?
What we basically, leadership meetings.
The leadership breakfast, which are once a month. Charlie, you're familiar with them.
Do we want to poll the other members, or are we happy with three out of six making the decision? In favor?
Who are the others?
Randy, Ellis, and
Where's the super?
We don't have
it.
Randy,
Ellis,
and William Giorgi.
Well, then you do have a forum of seated.
I mean, yeah, we talked about this.
There's one, five.
There's six.
I don't think so.
William Giorgi? Giorgi?
Giorgi. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, we could do it that way, don't you think?
I think Randy didn't want to do it.
This is all we're talking about.
So we can send it around
for
emails.
How do you feel about that? Send your name around.
Fine. I don't know. I mean, just whatever everybody would like.
Really?
I think that'd be great. We're all we're going to tentatively say it's a long time, and I think there won't be any objections. So let's handle it with that.
And there's three seated members for the employees.
And two of you are here?
One is here.
You.
Leon had another meeting to go to, but he told me who he was voting for.
Okay.
And Kelly is not here. which I would have expected her to be.
Is Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly is.
Yeah, she's yes. here till for the next.
Through the night, through 10, through 2010.
Yeah.
Sure. So I don't know what to say about that. You have to decide about that. Oh, what did Leon say?
Me.
That's 2 out of 3.
You're voting for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's Rodney. I think Kelly would be fine with that too.
Okay. So that would be good.
Really?
I can see
there's
a hotly
controversial.
Yeah.
Really positioned
a bunch of power. I want the minutes to reflect that if there is opposition that you're willing to reconsider or something along those
sure.
lines.
Sure.
We could send these things out to the constituency.
But,
okay.
But to move forward with those assumptions might be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And then do we have a graduate?
With 100% attendance.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be me. Another graduate
will be
Kate, and then also the last two undergraduate seats will be filled by the next meeting
because they're doing election.
Yeah. And then also another member of that state is coming up to be their representative.
Okay. So we can't really make a. Can we make a? Well, we can talk about nominations for the chair and vice chair.
Yeah, we have a quorum.
Like to play some. I nominate Rodney Orms to continue as chair.
Any other nominations? Hearing none or seeing none, let's take a vote.
Yeah, well, by acclamation, right.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Unanimously. Thank you.
Vice Chair.
Now, Vice Chair.
I nominate Charles Wolf.
Anybody else? Do you want to be?
I was hesitant because of rowing.
Okay.
I didn't know time commitment, but I had my doctor's find me yesterday. They said I might never be able to go back, but I don't want to
rule it out.
Yeah, I don't want to count on that.
Okay.
So,
no other nominations? It's now just Charlie Wolcott for vice chair?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Okay.
It's unanimous. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you.
So that takes care of number 3 and number 4, or number 4 and number 5. And now we need to convene our committees.
Ours is the one. Oh, first of all, we ought to go through the committees and decide who's the what.
Look what I have. Let's get this started. Did you not say you were going to do transportation?
I
was
willing
to. I can do it.
Okay.
Kind of graduate one day.
Okay. Okay. You are willing to be back?
Yeah.
If you have a time, you can go. Like.
But I. It's very. Kate, are you continuing coaching judicial?
No, but John Peter did work over the summer to prepare.
Yeah, I would like to do that, yeah.
Great. That's a really important one. It's important because we need to be sure that we get the energies of the committee going as well. Now that we don't have
Kathleen
work, it would be really important for New Abraham to be the real driving force for a while until it gets. Also, in convening getting personnel for hearing interview boards. It can't just be, your special committee to do it. I mean, they may well do it at some point. You have to get the committee to do it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I asked. what I want to do. A lot of the things I want to do this year are with the CJC, so I feel like it'll be worthwhile for me to be there.
He's supposed to be. And I thought Randy wanted to do something. So
the standing committees regularly meeting when requested meeting.
This meets all the time. This meets all the time. This one, I believe, meets all the time.
Well, let's go through them rather than talk separately about it.
Yep.
I was just going from the top, the Judicial Committee.
Don't we have to do something for hearings and verdicts, too?
No, because that's handled by the CJC.
Oh, okay.
Well, do we need to reapprove everyone we met? Because weren't there problems with just everything we did last semester?
Did we decide that?
Do we still need to reapprove?
I think where we left it, there was still some question as whether a quorum was actually fulfilled, because the list we had showed one short of a quorum, even after we recalculated.
So that's a new agenda item, is that we want to approve, or we want to validate our approval of the hearing and review board appointments that were made at our last meeting on May 5th.
Okay.
And the hearing review board appointments that were made in the interim in the summertime by the ad hoc executive committee. So I make a motion that we, what's the word? Approve the appointments, reapprove the appointments that were made in the at the final meeting of the UA in May, and that we reapprove the appointments that were made by the executive committee during the summit to the hearing review board.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Or any debate? Debate? Okay. All in favor? Okay. So that's taken care of.
Okay. So we finished up what we did last
right
year.
Now, the other committees, Joint Assemblies Multicultural, Joint Assemblies Financial Aid, Assembly System Review Committee, we are not, they're sort of ones that we can discuss later before we worry about appointing people to them.
Yes.
But the ones that are active are the University Health Services, which didn't we reconstitute that last year? The University Health Services one? As a flexible, fluid,
I don't remember what was.
Yeah. Well, that's an agenda item then for us to finalize our actions on University Health Services pursuant to what Seth was working on last year. Transportation Advisory Committee, we have an appointee who will convene it and be active in it. Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board, I'm not certain that we have ever been a part of that, have we? Well, it's a charter matter. Cornell Store Administrative Board, we've had somebody actively involved in that.
It was undergrad, and
it was Mark.
Yes, it was Mark.
Mark, is there any interest in amongst committee members to be involved in? No, not yet. Well, let's leave that one.
Maureen, can I just interject here for a minute? With some of these committee and responsibilities that the UA has for these areas, one thing that has been useful too as a liaison is to get with someone in that area, like the campus store, and ask them and coordinate with them to come and present to this group as an update of what they've been doing over the past year and what their strategic plans are for the following year. And it's a great way for this group to kind of be up to speed on what's happening. And for some of these groups, like the campus tour, that might not be a bad idea to approach it that way, just so new folks understand what the role might be in terms of agreeing to be a liaison on that.
We've done two years in a row. We've had reports by the campus facilities committee, and we had Board of University Health Services in several meetings last year. I was thinking since this is just an agenda item now to convene the committees rather than a discussion of the questions about committee structure, which that we could just go through the list and see the ones that are hot on the plate now, and we have to continue our affiliation with, and then the general question of all these other committees and what we do vis-a-vis those really falls under the last agenda item, which has to do with charter review. That is what it is we feel we need to do, because you know that the religious work advisory board and the board and these committees are going on as we speak without our participation in the liaison.
Or they're not at all staff.
Or
there is
a
larger question, but I was just trying to help.
Yeah, I think before we appoint the liaison, we want to think about the general. If there's not any groundswell of interest, we want to get the general question about where those committees fit in relation to the university assembly's goals. I can speak for the sustainability committee. It's active, and you'll have a report from it. And I'd like to continue as liaison.
Okay.
Budget planning committee. Chuck, in your history with this organization, have we ever had anything to say about the budget?
I would guess probably not. But I'm not sure that ought to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this year is going to be kind of an exciting year. It is already. And one of the issues is the whole role of the university faculty budget advisory committee. And that looks to be becoming a little more active. So I think that's good. But what this committee does, I can't imagine.
I can't either. And so I wonder whether someone with some expertise in those areas might be willing to think about, you know, especially if we're going to do a charter review and to talk about why it is budget planning committee was ever in the UA's purview, and should we revivify it and therefore get our presence as an administrative body or a legislative body a little more profound by doing so.
Personally, my feeling is yes, and this is the time to do it because there is going to be a great deal happening this year in the budget. And
without taking off, biting off more than you can chew, would you be willing to do some research in that area?
I know nothing whatever about it, so with some help from people who
that would be very lively. At least we could find from you, you could report whether or not it's worth our effort.
Yeah.
I know in the area of sustainability, which we started, it's been worth our effort. On every meeting I go to, I say, do we really want to continue this committee? And everybody always says, yes. And there's some big players in it. So they think it's worthwhile. It's worth our continuing. Campus Planning Committee.
Is Charlie taking that over then? Yeah.
I'd be happy to.
Well, he's not even going to take over. He's actually initiating contact
with whatever it is.
Wasn't
the scholarly endeavor to research
two once last year, maybe, or the year before?
Yeah, campus planning.
Oh, that was campus planning? Okay.
Yeah. Would you are willing to continue?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Cohesiveness.
I'm your surrogate. Would you, Randy, do you want me to still be your surrogate?
Sure.
I'll be too busy as a surrogate. Because I am interested in planning, and if you think so, I can go for you. Give you a little bit of a way both of you.
We didn't change anything that was found true, but we added our input.
Okay. I see.
Mm-hmm. Do they staff the campus planning committee with at-large university members?
Oh, yes. There's people from the planning office. There's people that from the grounds office and facilities. There's people from city planning. It's actually
Is this Mina's group?
What's that?
Yes, Mina.
I think it actually is very representative of people.
There are students, undergrad, grad, like all the other committees, there are there's a roster of people that are included. Are you interested? I don't know if it's
necessarily the liaisonship, but I think I'm on the same field as Elizabeth here. I really think our campus is ugly. I think we build a lot of unnecessary buildings. I mean, I'm on the Ivy Council too, so I travel to every Ivy, and I think our campus lacks continuity. And I think that the trustees messed up when they said that we should build a building for the times. Because then you end up with buildings like Gears Hall.
Lots of crazy, ugly buildings.
Yeah.
Was that just City Mark's idea? But she's not here anymore.
She wasn't her idea. So yeah. I
was
know
adamant about
that
every building.
Yeah, there are. There are.
Okay.
I think there's trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, though, about the planning committee and the planner. You think planning would involve deciding how big buildings are built or whether buildings get built? The planner is more where the buildings go after somebody has already decided to build them and we need this much space and we needed to do these things. It's more about how that development is situated and sort of...
Well, that's how they define it because they're very, very cautious. And so they let...
No. I'm saying if you want to get into whether buildings are built or how much development is going on, that's more of a question for the provost, and the university architect is the one making.
But it shouldn't be just the university architect who makes really big decisions about buildings. It should be much more participatory, and that's the whole thrust of it.
Yeah, but you were saying before that you have concerns with the decisions about the buildings, what the building looks like, and how big they are. Those kinds of.
And whether they could renovate it and fix
the building. The university planner is all I'm saying. So the university planner, that's not the question that they deal with.
I think there's more discretion in the mission. And the last meetings that I went to, I guess a year and a half, or maybe you were there too, they were beginning at least to say that they would hold the university to the master plan. And that would give them a little bit of leverage. So if somebody proposes this, they could say, no, wait a minute, that's set aside for bypass. To make it a good example. But I think that committee could do more if they were less cautious.
Amy, do you know if that committee's fully staffed? Just off the top of your head?
I do not.
That might be a good question to see where the staffing lines are.
Would the student members go through SA? SA committee?
Yes.
Kate, I wish you'd go. Right.
Yeah, I wish you can get through all the bureaucracy.
Go and raise your questions.
Yeah. Okay.
Raise the questions nobody raises.
So, Randy, you're willing to be the primary liaison to that? Okay.
And as a backtrack, I just told Randy this. Cool. I brought the I'll take Cornell Store if anyone doesn't have objections with that.
Okay. So then we also have the Family Services Committee, which Abe was part of, but Abe is no longer on the UA. So anybody interested in child care, family services?
I believe we had this committee come in a lot last year and talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
A couple meetings about different subsidies and how they're overstaffed, they have too many wants and not enough accommodations.
But that was the
child
care
subcommittee
that was coming in and talking
about
that.
Oh, those are separate.
Yes. The child care subcommittee is a subcommittee of the Family Services Committee.
So do we have to get a separate person for each one, or can one kind of...
Well,
I believe
decide that the big issues are not there, and so we want to skip that one. Do the ones you think are most important.
Since one's a subcommittee, I've got
it.
Right. Anybody interested in Family Services Committee?
Just the facility. Oh, yeah. that are faculty members with children.
Yeah, so probably can identify more.
I'm interested in the Board on University Health Services, but I missed whether or not we were involved with that still.
We don't have anybody for that.
Last year it was another, Seth Bardo. He was a graduate who really kind of got negotiations going with them again, and they were very enthusiastic about regaining relations with us, and it was much of a development stage, if I remember right, on where do we go from here, what type of relationship should we build.
And we were trying to do a resolution to recraft that committee into a way where it would be just less of an organized committee and more free-flowing, but we never finalized that, I don't believe, from last semester, from last year.
You could be the liaison and the
committee. And the office can help you with any background from last year and let you know where you
stand. And I bet you Seth would be very helpful. We will, I think we need to wait on the Family Services Committee then, perhaps others who are not here right now will be more than happy to serve on that.
Oh, you know, that there's a very important Cal faculty meeting this afternoon that where the dean is letting everybody know how she would like to rearrange the college, and that's probably
Ellis.
I had a teacher land up until just now. So
yeah, Ellis is stuck in
probably
Newark.
Oh,
okay. No, he's stuck in Newark. He was, his flight's getting in at 5 o'clock. He emailed me.
Do you know if that meeting's open to the public?
The Cal's meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Probably it's a college faculty there, would be my guess. Yeah, you want to go to that, don't you? Okay, so we will update with what we have so far, and we'll revisit it next meeting.
Yeah, University Sustainability is staff.
Yes, Marty wished to continue with that, and he's been very involved in that, so that would be tremendous.
Like you say, something about a campus tour committee. Last year when they presented something to us, they told us about the tax they were going to pay to the university in order to operate. And I thought it would be a good idea if we could increase the tax on the luxury items and have no tax on the textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we can go in this semester with that idea.
No, that's definitely a good idea. I remember that was last fall, that meeting, I believe. If we're not sure, it seems a while ago. But
yesterday seems a lot.
But if I remember right, they were trying pretty hard to cut down prices. But I think if we wanted to, we could go in and analyze their finances a little more and where they allocate funds and how they have to spend it.
Taking into consideration that they also have to follow state law on sales tax. Is that where you were going?
No. They pay the university.
They
give the university.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They give the uni-
yeah. It's more fees that enterprise units have
to pay back to the university
to support the general services to the rest of the university. Another area that small t tax pays fees for ground support and other areas. That's
okay. What
that
is. But certainly it's something to
understand,
discuss,
and understand,
and
within your purview, as I understand.
Okay. So we will leave open the Family Services Committee, and we'll ask the members who join us next or in our next meeting if they're interested in serving on that committee. Next on the item I have is the revision that the president asked for on his partial approval of our Resolution 8 from last academic year to the Campus Code of Conduct. And I wrote and sent to you all a resolution, not knowing if we needed it, but having it ready in case we did, so I didn't have to write it on the floor, because I really need to do that. And basically, the president approved all the changes. We don't have a computer. On Resolution A, except for this one part that's in the resolution. Being 3.0, what do I remember that? I didn't even put it in here, did I?
No, Title 3, Article 2, A.
Oh, yes.
What and didn't he like?
He didn't like the fact. It was the freedom.
Didn't like freedom of speech?
No, he did.
Oh, this is what was beautiful.
He likes
the provision that would have applied the university policy on discrimination to campus organizations and students. So right now the discrimination policy applies to university employees acting in the capacity of employees. What this would have said, and it was actually developed in response to a specific situation that was documented in the Daily Sun last year. There was a student organization that ousted one of its leaders because of his sexual orientation.
Asked to resign from that position, but they were just ousted.
Sorry.
Just trying to be neutral.
because of that situation, which was covered in the Daily Sun, there's plenty to read about it there. There was a proposal to extend the campus code of conduct so that the judicial administrator could have investigated that situation. So, when I spoke with my best friend, the judicial administrator, she said she wasn't sure, based on the facts that she had seen up to that point, whether she would have been able to do anything in that situation, because the university protected against discrimination on the basis of religion as well as sexual orientation. And the president's response is in a letter that we have somewhere on our website.
It is under Resolution 8, and I wish I had a laptop.
Just want the footnote that he...
Yes, the footnote is what he's asking to be added.
He wants the footnote added after that line saying that to harass and discriminate against another person in a manner that would violate Cornell University Policy 6.4 if it were applicable. Then he wants the footnote after that saying actions protected under legal principles made applicable by the university policy, including principles of free speech, freedom of association, and religious freedom, shall not constitute a violation of this provision.
I think CJC ought to look at that and think about it.
Yes,
this is actually something I want to look at very much with CJC, because I don't think that what my personal belief and what I know read of the Code of Conduct and Policy 6.4 is that that footnote isn't enough, and that the Code of Conduct needs to have much more explicit provisions than to just kind of sweep it on the rug by saying this is a policy except for these things, which need to be much more defined and drawn out, I feel like, in that very brief footnote.
So, we're just considering whether or not to send this back to CJC, right? I mean, that seems pretty obvious.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we have to do. I just don't know if it required a resolution.
Well, why don't we take this resolution, which is so thoughtfully drafted, and simply approve it, and it's all done.
Yeah. One way or the other, it works. Yeah.
Right. but I can't move it.
I motion that we pass resolution one and refer back to CBSD and the campus code of conduct change.
I would second such a motion.
Okay. All in favor? That's unanimous.
Do we lose
form
with
Marty?
Yes.
He would have voted for it.
And I can't vote. Yeah, but I can't vote.
Well, you still count towards quorum.
Oh.
You can vote to make or break a tie.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think we have a tie here.
No.
No.
And
that passes.
And if nobody asks about a quorum, can't we just approve it?
No.
Oh, in Carnegie, you would have to move the absence of a quorum, otherwise you wouldn't see it.
Okay, so that passed.
I'd like to say something. This
sure.
Was a... I'm happy that we had the checks and balances where this went to the president. And the president said, wait a minute, this needs a little more discussion. And we talked about the competing interests last year of religious freedom and sexual orientation. And it's a great question to work on. It's a very difficult one. And the checks and balance system has worked.
I just know the president does due diligence and reads them very thoroughly.
Well, I was wondering because I came to the office of the assembly the day he responded. Well, first of all, he asked for an additional 4 weeks because it was happening. What was happening? Oh, the budget crisis. The
budget crisis.
It was
just crazy.
It was the budget crisis really hit, and he was having all these meetings, and so he asked for an additional time of 4 weeks. And I approved it, saying, sure, fine, no problem. So I really thought it was going to go through just the way it's written. And then when his first letter wasn't quite specific. That he was approving everything except for this one. So I asked for the clarification of the letter, and subsequently he said he approved all the other changes except for this one part. So.
I wonder if this CJC would like to have a forum on this at some point, because it is such an interesting question.
Lisa, absolutely. So I would definitely try to get something working on that, have a dialogue on that with the leaders of the university, because this is such an important thing. And I feel like because also too, from what I've read, the reason that this is even in the campus code of conduct is that the Cornell University policy that it refers to specifically delineates issues concerning issues like this concerning when students are involved, says that, you know, when students, that's a unique setting, having students at a university, it shouldn't be governed by because, correct me if I'm wrong, but the policy was mainly with the employment stat, with the employment policies at the university, that there should be a different standard for students who are studying at the university in student groups and in the workplace, and then to just kind of have this policy recognizing that these different settings require different standards, and then to just have the code of conduct and say, oh, well, we're just going to follow that standard, defeats the whole purpose of having the code of conduct address this issue instead of it being under that policy in the first place.
I can see the reason to make the distinction.
That's why
it's very important that student groups, one can think of wildly different situations in which you do want students to have some realm of discussion and organization and participation that is not under the huge scrutiny of
That's why I think it needs to be much more.
You want some private, some space. It's not private, but you want some deliberative space without that interference.
That's why I think it needs to be much more thoroughly developed than just that short footnote there.
Okay. Well, we'll let you take that back to the CJC. I did put in the resolution that we would like to have it back by the 14th of October.
Okay, yeah, so I'll work with them on that to get that done as possible.
And that may not be a long enough time, but I hope it is.
When is our next meeting?
Our next meeting is September 30th.
Okay.
And then October 14th. Did you... there's a schedule over there. Right. You guys don't have the filled out schedule because Amy printed it without the what I had filled in so far, knowing what was coming up. The September 30th meeting, what's on the agenda so far is campus environment. Marty thinks that there's going to be something from the Sustainability Committee at that point. And also Michael Walsh, who's the student elected trustee, believes there will be some information of something coming from the Climate Action Plan. Some type of discussion. I'm not sure what that was, but Marty said that he wanted to come and talk to us fairly soon.
I think they're about ready to roll out the plan.
Yeah.
For Climate Action Plan, they're actually going to be talking to all of the assemblies for some type of resolution support for as that moves forward.
The Climate Action Plan Committee, which is not the same as the Sustainability Committee.
It's completely separate?
Completely separate.
Okay. And how is it constituted? Is this just a student group or
no?
Private?
This was actually established by the president and the provost.
It's very broadly constituted. I can't tell you, I don't know what is who all in it, but I'm close friends with Mike, and this is very much an issue, and he's talked about it several times, and it's a broad group of people from across the campus.
Do they work with the sustainability? Is it e-committee that are they?
The Climate Action Committee has been around longer, considerably longer.
Right.
I don't know if they've had contact. I mean, Mike was here when we resolved to have the Sustainability Committee, and
right.
He was one of the supporters of it, so they're keenly aware that it exists, and I think they might have some dual membership, maybe one of the
it'd be nice.
So, they're very, very well aware of each other.
So that I tentatively put on the schedule for the 30th. For the executive committee to like talk about and say yeah that's fine or change it or whatever. Also, because this was an integral part of the changes, that's why I chose the 14th of October to have the CJC come back to us back, because it was, I think, a really integral part to all the changes we made last year for the campus code of conduct, and I don't want that out there lagging on the one change. So, but if we do need to move it, we can. That's just where I stuck it. And the president is going around to all the assemblies beginning this month. And we are on the slot for him to come and see us on December 2nd, which is our last meeting of the semester. And I believe he wants to discuss the current status of where Cornell is at budgetarily and re-imaging and strategically and re-imaging.
Reimagining Cornell / strategic planning and wherever they are in that point, he is interested in speaking to all of the assemblies. So wherever they are in that point, I believe at that point reports may have been submitted from the consultants.
I know, our division will
done,
be done.
But the president has been very interested and adamant that he wanted to come and speak personally with all the assemblies, and I think Provost Fox will be here too.
Yes.
So we get both here.
So that's one that we really can't change. And then the rest of the spring semester is open because I didn't go that far out. Because I have no clue what the will is of the assembly. So, which brings us into, what do you want our goals to be for the next year? And I know we've all, as many years as I've sat on this assembly, charter review has come up at least once every year. And now is probably a good time to do it.
You mean the UA charter? Or
yes.
Do you mean
the UA charter. We sort of discussed it last year, and there was going to potentially be some work on it, and I believe James was... Was James not going to head that up?
Yeah, he wanted to do it, but he retired.
He retired with the retirement.
But he said he could do it in about 24 hours, maybe not so long.
I think he even vacated Ithaca.
No,
he's still here? Okay.
As a matter of fact, he's helping me advise.
Oh.
For the Rochester Division of Biology.
Okay.
We had a meeting last year regarding charter change. We, I think it was Ari was there, it was about an hour and a half, and Kelly was there as well, so I think she would be
interested. I think it's something that we need to do. Yes.
Do we want to have a discussion as a group, as a whole, about what we think the objectives of the UA are before we even start to revise the charter? That is, as the current UA, do we want to talk about what it is we think we should be doing on the campus that we aren't, what it is we are doing now, and then see if the charter actually is empowering us to do all that we want to do, or whether it's empowering us to do more than we want to do, and pairing those parts out? Those kinds of questions are ones before we, you know, ask the charter committee to say, well, the religious studies hasn't met for a long time, I guess we can leave that one out. You know, do we want to think about what it meant at the outset? I was taken very much by what Ari said at his orientation meeting last week. Was it, Larry?
The orientation meeting was last week.
What did
they say?
Well, he said, you know, that the UA and community governance really took a boost from the 1960s events, and that over a period of time since then, the establishment of the student assembly, the employee assembly, and the student assembly splitting, and then the faculty senate, created a sense of dispersed governance. You didn't say that, but that's what came to me, which is that the UA, which had been a representative body of the whole, then became just one body, and these different assemblies took on their respective constituencies' desires, and the UA somehow became, it was positioned in a different place than its initial, I would expect, impetus. Had meant to position it. That is, as a kind of congress, I guess you could say, of the community, which could then, that's why all those committees existed. A budget committee. We have standing on a budget committee, which could talk about the budget of the whole university, one assumes. A transportation committee, talk about how people get around the university, one assumes, and actually make policy recommendations. A planning committee could talk about what buildings do go up and what don't. At least vet the buildings that were going up, and those kinds of missions got dispersed because the different constituencies took on their own respective smaller issues. Faculty senate, you know, took on its. It said, well, we're the faculty. We do everything having to do with faculty. So we didn't really have that kind of punch that we were given the authority to have, perhaps, or at least we could have taken the authority on to have.
Marty, I think there's another thing that happened, which is that the various bureaucracies that are associated with these things had a life of their own. And they didn't really wish to consult with anybody because the consultation might be awkward. It takes time and is inconvenient.
Right.
Therefore, it's easier to simply go ahead and do these things and ignore. And I think the assembly has permitted that in many cases without making a sufficient fuss.
Well, that's a great reason for not revising the charter until we decide what it is we want to do. Because what I remember one of Ari's statements was the UA kind of, that the power became dispersed because people didn't feel like they had enough time to as volunteers to take on these different responsible roles in the university. Well, I mean, we could reassert ourselves in different areas of the university activities, and then, you know, it could all just piddle out because we don't really take on the responsibility and take the time. I mean, Elizabeth, you're one for saying all the time, you know, we're not paid to do this. Other people are paid to do this. Well, the administrators have a right to say, we're paid to do this. We'll do it. And you guys just, you know, can look at it and approve it and be happy with it.
Well, an example of one that has worked, as far as I can see, looking at it from the outside, is the campus code of conduct, where the assembly said, this is our responsibility, and we will accept it, and we will go forward with it. And it seems to me that worked to everybody's benefit. And I think one ought to look through the list and see, I agree with you completely, Marty, and say, which ones of these things make any sense for us to continue to try and monitor?
Right. So the question is, monitor, yeah. Yeah, and
advise,
right.
And so on.
Okay.
So we can have a meeting fairly soon before we constitute a charter committee to have that kind of general discussion about the UA. Don't you think?
Yeah. So I've made several attempts to contact the head of Cornell United Religious Works and have gotten no response.
Precisely.
So I think I'm going to go sit at his office when I have time, preferably during lunchtime, make it more inconvenient for them, hopefully, and have a little, I think we need to, like, at least talk and see where they're at and what they're looking for, if they're looking for anything or if they're happy to be by themselves, and at least it'll give us some idea to explain where it's at.
I have spoken with, it's been like a year, but when I did speak with them, what they told me was that back in 2004 when there was that discussion about how the committees weren't working and they weren't convening and there were a bunch of issues, they were left with the impression that UA was going to get rid of the committee and they were quite surprised that it never actually had been done.
And following up on Charlie was saying, I think we can also assume that many of these committees are many of the people who are functioning in the roles that the committees are supposed to be involved in don't necessarily want us to be involved because they're very happy, you know, with their particular.
Right.
So I think before we even pester them to say, what do you want us to do? We have to decide what it is we think we want to do relative to them. Now, with transportation and planning, we made a statement two years ago that we were very interested in being more active. And I'm really surprised, for example, that planning hasn't been meeting, and we haven't been more, you know, critical and more gaslight in that area. I think we could be, you know, we could say some.
I missed the last meeting where
not you personally, but
yeah,
I'm just saying
where they decided to put the poll. So we were a little bit of a gas line in that there's a joint debt school Cal
right.
teaching barn that they that somebody wanted to put on 366.
Right.
And actually, Marty and I thought it would be an eyesore. It would be this big industrial.
150 cows.
Yeah, 180.
In the apple orchard.
Mm.
I don't think cows are an eyesore.
No, but they're in a single building where they have 40 square feet to lie down in.
And all the manure is going to be scooped up and bused across 366 to an off site. And, you know, there's a variety of problems. It's a 50-cow ensemble now. Anyway, we raised the question.
If we wanted actually Red Barn there on 366, so it would fit in the whole sustainability thing. And that's what we pushed for. It didn't work. But they moved the barn, this industrial barn, over there where Campus Mail and I feel it's called.
Complex.
So it's not in
any
way.
It sounds like there seems to be a discussion that we do want to re-examine our role here, but we need to establish like what we want our role to be, and you know, are these units which even need our oversight? And a number of these units, transportation is one that I'm familiar with, we have a level of legislative authority over their policies. But raise your hand in the room if you know what the policy of transportation services and transportation mail services are.
So we got a report on that 2 years ago.
Okay.
And we actually endorsed it, you guys.
Yeah.
And for example, the car share those are things that are coming out of transportation and mail services.
And they're doing good things. But I think that maybe what we should have is those groups which we have some authority over their policies, have them come in as soon as possible and articulate succinctly what their policies are. And then we can look at it and say, okay, is this anything that we need to have a role in? And if it's something where we need to look at the policies and we'll say, okay, we'll keep this in. And now this prompts us to have a lively discussion about in the ACT committee, put the whip to their back and say, okay, have a discussion about this, come back to us with, you know, should these policies change? That might just simply be brought up to speed, bring us hit the ground running with all of these issues.
Cornell Religious Works may have an interest in the CJC, how you handle them right after resolution about what we're talking about. And I'm not sure if somebody from Cornell Religious Work can go to the CJC meeting or how that works, but that might be lighted. That might be just a good entree to see if they can be included in something that may have an impact on it.
Did we do family and child services committee yet? Did we talk about a representative?
Yes.
We don't have one?
We don't have one.
No, University
Health. She wants to do University Health.
That's right. We really need a family and child service. That's a good committee. That's a good committee.
How are you, Mark?
No, I
have a sustainability
one. It's quite active.
Well, what about the other faculty members who aren't here? Do any of them have
We'll have three new undergraduates at the next meeting. Okay. Some of them work with the employees.
These are active committees, and they're ones that actually the family and children, they came to us with the hope that we would be active. So
and child care is very active, so
yeah.
This is the sixth committee of them.
Well, I can tell you that the sustainability one, as you'll know, next meeting is quite vigorous.
How many members do you have? I don't think I've ever seen the roster. I'd be interested in seeing who's on there. Just to be able to contact them.
When it's up today, it'll have seven.
Oh, that's what I have it right here.
Seven voting and one non-committed.
Child Services Subcommittee and
Sustainability.
Seven
voting.
Voting and one
okay, so it's up to date. We have eight.
I'd just like to say that I think we're at a time when really important decisions are being made. And maybe we should let some of the smaller stuff, like the bookstore and the family. I'm sure family services is very important to the families, but religious work and so on. Just let those go and concentrate on budget and planning and transportation and the things that are that have bankrupted. Remember that big presentation that we had in UA before the crash where they just showed us the slideshow of all the big buildings they were going to build? And we were watching the financial collapse of the university.
Well,
somewhere there should be an ability to question those decisions that are now crippling us, I think. Well, really hurting us academically because we can't hire faculty, we can't admit graduate students. All the core functions are really being damaged by the building binge people went on without any thought of consequences.
If we want to have something to say about that, the provost has spoken on that very issue, saying that capital expenditures are not the major problem. It's the programming that required the capital expenditures that is. And that is something that grows out of faculty research and teaching. That's what the current provost says. If we want to challenge it, we have to do some kind of research and discussion of that. The point being that the buildings are being built because faculty, through their deans, are asking for the buildings to be built. And so it's the programming and the subsequent cost of maintaining that program that actually is the biggest drain or the biggest cause of the overreaching or whatever.
That's partly true, but there's one other feature, which is that campaign has not financed the buildings as was anticipated. And so they're having to be debt financed. And so you're absolutely right, but about a third of the problem, between a third and a quarter of the problem, is the cost of financing those buildings.
Well, that's wonderful that you're on the budget. You're doing the budget side of things because that's where, you know, in terms of the procedures of deliberative bodies, the kind of rubber hits the road is to actually take these conflicting views and bring them to the people that are making the decision.
It was just so surreal to give that presentation. I mean, I remember saying to me 25 years later, and it was just all about the most important things about a university and its reputation and so on are the buildings. And it's just building after building, slide after slide. Well, I think there has to be more thinking about what really makes a university, about teaching and graduate students and research funds and things like that. That's the core of our mission. It really being hurt.
I would like to strongly ask that we don't act precipitously and sort of cut off committees right now, because I think looking further down the road, once the crisis is over, then those ties and liaisons are lost. And
no, I didn't mean
you can't replace that. And then I'd also strongly urge that we do consider that families are a core of Cornell University, because I'm sitting here with a family, a husband who uses transportation, who uses Gannett, who uses the library. Say whenever I get my PhD, I might be a faculty member somewhere where I'm going to bring my husband, I'm going to bring my child, I'm going to bring my cat. And so I think families are what makes your students come here. And families are what helps you when you're trying to get tenure and sort of trying to survive in a university. So I would suggest that we don't get rid of that community.
No, I did. I really
would you be willing
get rid of
to
it.
The
I guess I'm going to have to.
Yeah. That's exactly why we started the committee in this agency, in order to make sure that those views were a part of our. And so what you need to do is get a list of the people and approach them about convening. If it's already convened, go to the meetings, and then you report back to us about what's going on.
Did that committee have anything to say about the decision at Hasbrook that was so unpopular with?
Well, she would know because she wasn't on it. Let's ask the people when
I'm
they come.
I'm curious, because that's the kind of issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it seems to me when the president of Prop is hired, by that point, we should be building up our questions to ask about the fundamental assumptions
like we asked Biddy, you know, Biddy spoke as if we weren't asking any questions.
And in fact, we have to submit. They asked us to submit questions that we were interested in him coming to talk about topics.
What it suggests about that is that each of the committee liaisons prepare questions that have to do with their committees. And then we can discuss them, and it's December we're talking about.
Right.
So we have, you know, several meetings before then.
Right.
If we had them prepared by October, you're having made contact with your respective committees, we can then discuss them in October and get a list of three or four, you know, areas. That's terrific, because then we show that we are engaged in those activities, and we have, you know, reason to be bringing them to the president's attention. I want to apologize that I realize this is not normal procedure for recognizing people and going forward, and I promise to follow it more. It's more like a confab approach to the UA, but
and we also probably need to start saying who we are. So our transcriber can get the names correctly.
I just want everybody's name card is in the same site.
Yeah. So
I know I opted.
But when do we can discuss that? Ari talked about Robert's Rules of Order and things of that sort at this orientation. And one of the things, though, that without being, I know I'm the most aggressive one, by the fact I keep coming and going in this meeting, but one of the things that we might decide is whether or not there could be at least for a while, or until we get to resolutions and things of that sort, a more informal discussion, especially if we're talking about what is the UA for and,
right,
and getting it that. That's my suggestion. And do we want to discuss it?
I feel Kelly at the orientation, I don't know how many were there, but she raised the very same question, how sometimes it gets things much more efficient if there's structure there to have some parliamentary procedure. She used the example of employee assembly, but I feel it could easily apply to it as well, how sometimes things just don't move along. And she says, even though the feel of the assembly is informal as UA, like we aren't going to follow a strict parliamentary procedure ever, but if there's a way we can implement partial parliamentary procedure for more important matters, as the example just brought up, for example, we don't call on members before we speak to them for the transcribers, issues such as that, a little more formality. I don't know if there's a halfway point.
Let's speak up about one of the recommendations they had at the orientation, which I definitely think we could benefit from,
okay,
and that would be appointing a parliamentarian who could help the chair, you know, keep track of what the rules are. I mean, what's envisioned with Robert's Rules of Order is that the chair, there's one person who the assembly delegates to decide who has the floor, that is, who's speaking, and what motion is discussed. And there are these elaborate rules which I think every assembly follows to a different degree. Maybe Congress follows all of the rules, but just about any other body, it's impossible to know. It's 600 pages of rules. So you're already following a loose version of Robert's rules.
Okay.
The idea is you have that policy there so that if you need to bring a discussion to a close or something like that, there's a way to do it without violating anybody's rights.
Okay. Marty?
Marty. I think, you know, anybody who's watched C-SPAN knows that you can follow all the rules and get nothing done. And it depends really on the area that you're discussing. I watched a lot of Congress on C-SPAN, and they're marvelous at following rules, and absolutely nothing gets done. In fact, people are up there saying the most important things in my life, you know, and nobody's there to listen. So my feeling is that at least at this stage in this body, we need to decide what it is we want to do, and then the rules can kick in. Especially, I mean, if we're talking about resolutions, and that's what I had in mind when I was saying we can follow rules,
You know, I mean, when we did the code, we strictly, you know, called on people and everything, and it worked very well. But at this point, we're, well, this particular meeting, it didn't seem to make sense. And I apologized only because I thought that maybe the next meeting, when we have resolutions that we're dealing with, will be much more formal. But we need several of these kinds of talk fests, I think. It would be great to get more input. Maybe what we could do is have a 30-minute section of every meeting until we get ourselves in gear.
That's like an open forum.
Open forum of members interchange. That's a proposal.
It's not
a resolution.
That works, but it's simple. You could still use parliamentary procedures to imply that you just call it open discussion. For example, someone would be like, for the next 30 minutes, we'll have an open discussion, but still use parliamentary procedures. It doesn't have to limit you necessarily on how much discussion is going on. You just have to start it formally and end it formally.
I have a question. Has anybody felt that
Randy Wang.
Or anyway. Has anybody felt that they haven't gotten a fair hearing? Because I think UA has been very fair to bring in opposing viewpoints and make resolutions. I'm not sure we have a problem.
Would be more the case about preventing.
Make sure that nobody does walk out of the room in the future feeling that they were wrong. I agree with you, but I think...
Yeah, I think it's been fairly well-balanced. As many years as I've been on here.
More than Fox News.
As far as ideas go, I don't think that's necessarily an issue, but just more a matter of formality. For the big problem, this is maybe an off-example, but last year on CJC, there's a lot of continuing members who've been there for years, and I remember one meeting, there was a small argument how, why should they have to write resolutions for the University Hearing Review Boards with their selections? Or like, that's part of the process, you have to write a resolution.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why we have a chair for the entire assembly. If they aren't going to lead discussion or say, now we're moving on to point three on the agenda, instead of just kind of, today was extremely out of the ordinary. It was very informal, but still, like, that bouncing around, even if we do want to bounce around, it should come from the chair, and that's why you have these positions within the assembly.
Okay, I'd just point out that today, Rodney has taken us through the agenda, and we've accomplished essentially all the things that were on the agenda, and we're all speaking to one another, so, you know, I think we've made progress.
It was progress, but it's everyone speaking one another. Just
sure, now I hear you.
Commands to come from a chair.
Jeff, Martin.
Yes,
Martin.
Martin Hatch.
Yes. I wanted to just say, because we're winding down now, I suppose, right? On the 30th, we'll have two presentations. I think it's on the agenda, right?
Yes.
The first will be by Mike Walsh on the President's Climate Initiative Committee, and there'll be a resolution that he will bring to us to endorse, and it'll be fully drafted, and you'll get a copy of it beforehand, the Climate Committee's report. And then the Sustainability Committee will have had a presentation next week. By the time we have our meeting, it will have had a presentation because it will be taking place next week by that same committee, one of the members of the committee, Dan Roth, who is on the Sustainability Committee, is also on that President's Climate Committee. And the Sustainability Committee will discuss the resolution that will be coming to you, and will make contributions to it, and then pass its endorsement or non, but probably an endorsement of the President's Climate Committee's resolution. And then we will probably have another resolution from the Sustainability Committee to you, which will be presented to you before before the meeting on the 30th, about a revolving loan fund, which is something we've been working on for the past 2 months, drafting language, drawing upon the Environmental Compliance and Sustainability Office in, and the Center for Sustainable Future, different contributions people made, about how to affect certain small but important projects on in around the campus to cut down energy use, cut down carbon emissions through the use of a revolving fund that will be paid back through the savings this time, and you'll see it in the resolution. So I'm just announcing that because you'll get these resolutions in the mail and email form beforehand, and it would be wonderful if you could look them over so that you're prepared for the discussion on the 30th.
And before we go, we must approve the minutes from our last meeting.
I motion we approve the minutes from...
I have been had several corrections, so I'd like to submit the corrections. I apologize. Before we approve them. I'm going to read them to you now. I'm going to submit it to you and we can approve them next week.
Can we approve them next meeting? Okay. Okay. Well then.
I want to say just one thing before we break up. I think it's wonderful that the president answers for questions and the suggestion that each committee makes up a question, and I think that will help us figure out how we want to change the charter.
Yes.
I think that's just wonderful.
Great. Great.
Good.
So by when are we going to have? When are we going to talk about questions? Which committee is that? And we'll talk about the questions you want to ask.
When are the October
meetings?
Do we have just one October meeting?
Well, there's two meetings, and dependent upon, I just threw the CJC. Coming back with that revision or whatever amendment on the 14th,
okay.
But they may need this one until the 28th, depending upon.
Well, we'll either the 14th or the 28th.
Yeah. Yes.
That wasn't on the table.
I was waiting for a decision on the charter review committee that the. Help get it moving. I know there's some particular suggestions like sorting out the timeline when members are appointed, at least so that when the organizational meeting happens, you have all your members so you can have a
charter review. What charter review committee?
What
do
you mean?
Did we
constitute a charter review committee yet?
Talked about it
earlier, but we don't have a resolution to establish a charter review committee, so maybe we're waiting on that. We had a system.
Something more formal, it could just be an oral motion to create a committee.
But we have a systems review committee already for reviewing the charter.
Is that what you want to
do?
From within CJC.
It's what we wanted to use a year ago. But let's.
But I don't
think activity of discussing our goals and stuff. That's what we were just. That's what we came to the general conclusion.
So it seems like there's two thoughts in the air. The rules and the big picture.
Haven't decided what we're going to do yet with the charter. I think that's where you're
going to start. But the whole point of having a committee review it is to give you recommendations about what to do with it. But you would have to charge the Assembly System Review Committee or whatever to look at it.
Okay. And I don't think we're there yet, is what we were saying.
Anyway.
Okay.
Chair,
yes.
Bernita Westender with a change to the minutes. Under roll call, in the paragraph with by acclamation, and in the paragraph with K. Layton, acclamation, I think it should be with an A, acclamation, rather than I. I think acclamation refers to climate.
Getting used to
don't are mine.
Yeah. So we're not going to approve the minutes this time, but that's lovely. That's lovely.
Under roll call on this first page, after also in attendance, the paragraph starts by exclamation.
The UA passed a resolution for Kathleen O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was definitely with an A, not an I.
And then the Cade Layton paragraph, the last sentence says he made a call for exclamation and the resolution passed. That should also be where the I is.
Okay. Nothing further? May I have a motion to adjourn? Second it? All in favor?
Aye.
By unanimous consent, you're adjourned.
How was your meeting in Canada?
My which meeting? Oh, this is coming up.
Oh, still coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going the next day.
Oh, oh.
Can you send me, or what I'm going to need for you when we talk? Are you in a new map? Did you get a recent new
map? Well, yeah, it's pretty new.
Like, oh, okay. So then you didn't recently get it. Like, it's been a lot. Okay, the same one you had in the fall when you had the same issues. Okay.
If there, I'm not too sure I'm going to be getting it about that. Maybe it's not, but when I go on there is no place for me to download my calendar.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.